God's word. Not Pastor Evans' word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house to be fed bread and manna from heaven. We thank you that we made it through the Thanksgiving season in the earth. But Father, your word tells us to come into your gates with thanksgiving and into the courts with praise. And so we thank you this morning for an opportunity to come and hear from the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do and take the Logos word of God and transform it into a Rhema word so we can hear what thus saith the Lord for our lives and for our church, for our families, and for our businesses. And Lord, we declare today for signs, miracles, and wonders to follow our lives as a result of your word, because you always watch over your word to perform it. In Jesus' mighty name, can everybody say amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Can we give a hand clap for those who are watching online? Can we do that? So before I start, if you are in physical pain in the moment, physical pain, if you would stand to your feet, if you're in physical pain, anybody in physical pain right now? Wow. If you notice, the number of people who have to stand up is going lower and lower. Yes. You know why? Because the healer is in the room. Amen. So those of you who are standing, we don't have that many this morning, which is a blessing. We're going to do what we normally do. The Bible says that if we lay hands on the sick shall recover. The Bible says that the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. The Bible says that by Jesus' stripes, we have been healed. So our part is to activate our faith and trust God to do his part. Here's the beautiful thing. Faith without works is what? The fact that you took enough energy to stand up, you're saying, God, I'm trusting you to now do your part. So if you're next to someone who's standing, if you would place your hand on them in an appropriate place, of course, and we're going to touch and agree that God is going to touch them before the end of service. And just like I always instruct, once your pain is gone, not gone by faith, but when it is gone, I want you to stand up in the middle of me teaching. And I want you to wave at me. So wave at me. Let me see you wave. Let me see you wave. Okay, good. Now you say, well, Pastor, I don't want to stand up and interrupt your message. Don't worry about me. I can do it. I can pick right back up. But the reason we want you to stand up and wave is to let people see that God still heals today. And we have not been counting, but I promise you, hundreds of people this year have gotten healed from this prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today. You said for us to lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. God, we're doing our part. Your word says to pray the prayer of faith and the Lord will raise them up. Father, the prayer of faith says that God, whatever we desire when we pray, believe we receive them and we shall have them. And so, Lord, we know it is your will to heal. So we speak to every part of every person's body that is in pain. And we say, pain, you can't stay in Jesus' name. That Jesus' name is greater than pain. And so we speak to pain and we command you in the name of Jesus to be removed from this person's body, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. In fact, Holy Spirit, go inside of their bodies and whatever is creating the pain, whatever the source of the pain, we ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you dry it up, that you command for whatever body that is not in sync, whatever part of their body is not in sync, to be in sync. And we command you to work properly in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, in advance for doing what only you can do, and that is heal in Jesus' name. Come on, say about it. Everybody say amen. Amen. So we have been in a series for the month of November called the Fivefold Gifts. Now, there are three reasons. Everybody say three reasons. There are three reasons why I've been teaching this. The first one is for us to grow in our knowledge of the fivefold. Number two is so that we can grow in our understanding of the fivefold. And three, to me, which is very critical, it is for us to get in position to be equipped and developed by the fivefold. And here's why that's critical, because see, our world provides so many options for so many things. We bring this option mentality into the kingdom of God. For example, if you wanted to get from Houston from here, you could drive, you could fly, you could hitchhike, or you could ride a bicycle. What's my point? My point is there are so many different options that we could get from here to Houston. But see, God's kingdom is not like that. God's kingdom is exclusive. Everybody say exclusive. John chapter 14, verse 6, it reads this way in the King James. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man, everybody say no man. No man can come to the Father but by me. Now, the world says there are lots of ways to get to God, but that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said he was the way, not a way. Say amen to that. In other words, you cannot get to God the Father without going through Jesus Christ. That's exclusive. Everybody say, that's exclusive. Well, the fivefold that God has put and given to the church are the only ones, watch this now, that Christ has ordained to perfect and equip the saints. That's exclusive. Now, you can learn from other people, you can grow from other people, but if you want to get developed and if you want to get perfected and if you want to get equipped, then you must do that through the fivefold. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, which has been our foundational verse, I'm going to read it so that we can identify our last position that we're going to discuss this morning. It says, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to who, church? To the church. Read it with me. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Read it with me. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So, we're in our final lesson on learning about the fivefold. We've talked about the apostle, we've talked about the prophet, we've talked about the evangelist, and last week Pastor Sharp did an amazing job on the pastor. Can you give him a hand clap? Thank you, Pastor Sharp. And so this week, today, I'm going to end by covering the teacher. Now, I'm excited about this one because I function in this office or position as well on a regular basis. So if you're taking notes or if you need the notes, raise your hand and our ushers will give you a copy of today's notes. And let me just say this, I give you those notes so you can go back home, sit down, re-watch the message and do the study for yourself. Amen. So our message title is The Purpose of the Teacher. Amen. So I'm going to jump right in because our first point is, what is a teacher? What is a teacher? A teacher, by definition of the King James, is one who teaches things about God and God's kingdom, watch this, from God's word. You cannot be a teacher in the body of Christ from a fivefold position if you're not teaching people about God and his kingdom from his word. Say amen to that. Teachers have been uniquely wired by God to help bring enlightenment, to help bring understanding, to help us have clarity about God's word. And I'm not talking about a regular teacher. How many are teachers in the room? Let me see your hand. If you're a school teacher or something like that. Yeah, I'm not talking about a regular teacher, because just because a person can teach doesn't mean they've been called by God in the position of the fivefold to be a teacher. In other words, church, ability does not mean credibility. One, as far as a teacher, from God's perspective, one is a call, it's a position or an office, however way you want to look at it, where the other one just can come from training or ability. So being able to teach does not qualify a person to be a fivefold teacher. Can you say amen to that? Christ must call us to do that. Now, a fivefold teacher, through their rigorous study, because if you're going to be a Bible teacher, if you're going to be called into the fivefold as a teacher, you must love to study. A fivefold teacher, through their rigorous study of Scripture, helps them to rightly divide the Word of God. Why? So that, watch this, it is understood and can be properly applied. So I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and then I'm going to do my best to demonstrate it in a way that hopefully when you leave today, you'll get it. 2 Timothy 2:15 in the King James, what's the first word in that verse, church? Study. Study to show yourselves approved unto who? Unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, read it with me, church, rightly dividing the word of truth. Doing what? Right. Now that word rightly divided, when you look it up, it means to cut straight. Now back in the day, my grandmother used to sew. She would buy these packages that's sitting here that look kind of like this right here. How many are aware of this? Raise your hand if you are. You are old, that's why. Okay, my grandmother used to buy these, and what you see here is a photograph of the, watch this now, of the material or the design for this particular outfit. So what comes in it is the instructions, you know, that pretty much tells you what to do. And then the part that really what I want to focus on is, it comes with this paper that's really thin. And this paper is the design that you're supposed to put, watch this now, the material under the paper, and then you cut the material based on the design of the what? Of the paper. Here's the problem. If you miscut, you will have a misfit. Amen. How many? See, I grew up, my mom, and she's probably watching, hey, mama, I'm about to bust on you right now. But, you know, we used to go to Levine's. How many remember Levine's? Oh, you all. We used to go to Levine's, and at Levine's, sometimes they used to have these packages. And the material or the product in the package was new, but it said on the outside of the package, irregular. Why was it irregular? Because somebody did not cut it straight. I remember buying some jeans and I didn't read the package before my mama gave them to me. I would put on these jeans and the crease of the jeans, the seam was going in the front of the pants. I mean, I ironed it right. I starched it right. But it went to the side. Made me feel like I had to walk like this for it to be looking straight, right? Everybody say to cut straight. You have to cut straight. And if you don't cut straight, the word of God, it won't work for you. Amen. For example, see, in our day and time, to me, there are pastors teaching principles from the Bible, but they're not teaching the Bible. Did you hear what I said? See, you can teach principles from the Bible, but not be teaching the Bible. A person can let's take giving, for example. A person can teach the principles of sowing and reaping without keeping it in a Bible context. In fact, people on social media call it, you know, when they say karma. Well, I can teach you on what the Bible says about giving. If a person is trying to teach it from a principle standpoint, but not necessarily from a biblical standpoint, then I can talk about the physical act of giving without including the spiritual act of giving. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean? See, in the natural, a farmer can sow some seed in good ground, and he can sow it with good seed. And if he's a good farmer and takes care of it, what's going to eventually happen is he's going to get a harvest. But see, it doesn't work like that on the spiritual side. Why? Because the spiritual condition or soil, when a person gives as a believer, the soil is our heart. Right. Amen. Amen. And if my heart isn't doing it out of honor, if my heart is not doing it out of love for God, if my heart is not doing it out of obedience, watch this, my crop will be crappy. Look at your neighbor and say, do you have a crappy crop? Because listen, church, biblical giving starts with the heart before it starts with the hand. So, in other words, what I'm saying is, my motivation impacts my manifestation. Everybody say, my motivation impacts my manifestation. And so as believers, listen, church, I'm getting ready to make a hard left. As believers, we must function in spirit and in truth. Amen. If you apply the word with just truth without spirit, you will function in legalism and the law. Oh, we got somebody waving. Oh, we got two people waving. Come on. Stand back up. Stand back up so people can see you. There are two people being healed right there. Praise the Lord. Thank you. So if you function with truth without spirit, that will function, cause you to function in legalism and the law. If you function, watch this, with spirit without truth, you will have zeal with no knowledge. Amen. Listen what the Apostle Paul said in his prayer for the church of Rome. This is in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Watch this now. He says, I bear them record. In other words, I'm watching them that they have a zeal of God, but that zeal is not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness or God's ways, they've gone about to establish their own righteousness or their own ways. And in doing that, they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Now, when you look up that word zeal, it means an excitement of mind and fervor of spirit. In other words, just because something sounds good or feels good doesn't mean that it's biblically good. And this is how people get off. I was watching someone on social media do a reel, and the topic that they read in this one verse, the way they decided to interpret that was crazy. And I thought to myself, they're ignorant. Now, I'm not calling them ignorant because they were ignorant. Ignorant means without knowledge, right? And see, a real teacher, everybody say a real teacher. A real fivefold teacher can see things in scripture that a normal person normally wouldn't see. Now, I didn't say a normal person couldn't see it, because all of us have access to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the ultimate teacher of truth. But a teacher, a biblical teacher, a fivefold teacher has been gifted to see things and explain things in ways that produce revelation. So here's an interesting fact. I'm getting ready to give you now some interesting biblical facts about the fivefold teacher. The Greek word for the word teacher that we read over in Ephesians chapter 4, as far as the fivefold teacher, the Greek word for that is mentioned in the New Testament 59 times. How many did I say? 59 times. But out of those 59 times, watch this, it was only used as the English word teacher 10 times. So how many times was it mentioned overall? 59 times. How many times was it mentioned as the English word teacher? 10 times. Well, what's 59 minus 10? 49. I'm glad y'all touch your neighbor and say, I know you did good in math. I know you did good. Okay, so we have 49 left. So watch this, church. Out of the 49 times that's left, watch this, 48 out of those times in the New Testament, the English word that was used for teacher was master. So out of the 59, 49 was left, and so that leaves one more, which means now that last time was actually used as the English word doctor. So here's what I want to do. Let's read one of those times where the word master was actually used for this word teacher. Matthew chapter 8, verse 18. It says, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. And a certain scribe came and said to him, master, there's the word teacher, the fivefold teacher. He was saying, master or teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man does not have anywhere to lay his head. Now, the teacher in me, touch a neighbor, say the teacher in him. The teacher in me wants to make sure that what Jesus just said isn't misconstrued. Because you may say, well, what part is that, Pastor Evan? Well, the part where Jesus said he had no place to lay his head, because if you don't hear that, if you don't study that right, it will sound like Jesus was homeless. And you know, tradition teaches that because he was poor. Well, let me ask you a question. Would a poor person have a checking account? You say, well, Pastor, I'm poor and I got one. No, I'm not talking about you. No, I'm just playing. No, but for real, a homeless person, well, some homeless people these days have them, because Landon and I rode up on a corner and we saw this homeless guy with a sign that says, cash out me. And I did it just to see if it would work. I was like, this guy got a cash out. He got $25 from somebody. I was like, wow. Well, what's my point? My point is, most of us wouldn't have a treasurer on our staff if we were broke. Well, Jesus had a treasurer named who? Judas. So if Jesus only had $5, he wouldn't need a treasurer. I mean, do you need somebody following you to carry your $5? You still got that $5? I'm just checking. No, you wouldn't do that. Why would Jesus need a treasurer if he didn't have treasure? So I know, okay, all right, let me give you one more, then we're going to keep going, because I didn't want to park here, but I'm just trying to help you see that tradition can bend your mind in ways it shouldn't. Jesus had a custom robe that was seamless. It was so expensive that when he died on the cross, the soldiers gambled for it. Well, you don't gamble from clothes, from Goodwill. Okay, all right. I just wanted to give y'all that. So, unfortunately, because people can read that text that way, I want us to look at another text that helps us rightly divide the word. It's found in John chapter 1, verse 35. It says, again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and they looked on Jesus as he was walking. Two of John's disciples was looking at Jesus. And he said, John said, behold, the Lamb of God. And two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned around to see them following him, and he said to them, what are you looking for? What do you seek? And they said unto him, what's the next word? Rabbi. See that? That word rabbi, which is also being interpreted what? Master. That word master is that word teacher that we're talking about. He says, teacher, where do you live? Why do we want to know where Jesus lived? Everybody say, that's church folk right there. That's church folk. Where you live, Jesus? So verse 39, he said unto them, come and see. Let me ask you a question. Would you be able to show somebody where you lived if you didn't live nowhere? Okay, watch this now. They came and saw where he lived or where he was dwelling, and they stayed with him that day. Well, it was two of them. Well, Jesus couldn't have lived in an efficiency. You know, an efficiency apartment, you know, it's one room. The bed is here, the sink is here, the bathroom is here, the kitchen is here, and there's a chair, not a couch, right here. All in one room, right? Well, no, they stayed with him from that day until, because it was the 10th hour. What's my point? Jesus was probably out of town at that point, and that's why he said what he said. And this is why 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 should be the goal of every fivefold teacher. He says, study to show yourself approved. Now, let me just put this out here, because everybody should study the Word of God. Not just a fivefold teacher. Everybody should study. I'm just saying to you, one of the traits of a fivefold teacher is for them to study. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here's the problem that I see. Touch your neighbor and say, he's about to tell you your problem. Here's the problem, especially on social media. Everyone has an opinion, but not everyone is speaking truth. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:15 that we just read said to study to show yourselves approved. It did not say read to show yourself approved. And many people read, but many people don't study. Amen. Which brings up now another interesting fact about the fivefold teacher. Here's another one. They will receive a greater punishment or judgment from God as a teacher. Now, I haven't read that from the other, you know, fivefold gifts, but in this particular one, as a teacher, they, us, will receive a greater punishment. Watch James chapter 3, verse 1. James says, my brethren, be not many masters. That word masters is teacher. So let's put that in there. My brethren, be not many teachers, knowing that teachers shall receive the what? Greater condemnation. Listen to the New Living Translation. It makes it clearer. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. For we who teach will be judged with what? More strictly. Now you say, well, why is that, Pastor Evan? Because teaching is designed to produce understanding. So if I teach you wrong, your understanding will be wrong, which means your results would be wrong. And this is why one of the main ways of judging a teacher, a true fivefold teacher, is by several things. Number one, you can judge them by the fruit of their labor. Number two, the fruit of their life. Number three, the fruit of their love. Number four, is the fruit of their lips. If you have somebody whose lips are running like diarrhea, that claim to be a teacher in the church, but you can't stop cussing, okay. Thank God. Look at your neighbor and say, thank God I'm not a teacher. Listen, church, one of the signs of a good shepherd, say good shepherd. One of the signs of a good shepherd is to teach, watch this now, his sheep the word of God. Listen to what Mark chapter 6, verse 34 says. It says, and Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a what? Shepherd. So what did he do? He began to teach them many things. So now what I'm going to do next can change your life if you let it. So look at one more time, one more person for the last time. Look at them and just tell them and say, your life can change if you let it. Here is what an experienced teacher can do to change your life. They can actually, watch this, change your life by accelerating your understanding. So what do you mean by that, Pastor Evan? Let's say something that took me 10 years to understand and get revelation on, I can teach it to you in 10 minutes. In other words, I can accelerate your understanding. Something that took me 10 years can take you 10 minutes. So what I'm about to do right now is to share with you, as a teacher now, one of the first things that I learned from God's word that I got revelation on that changed my life. Now, the reason I'm telling you is because I believe what I'm about to talk to you about right now can change your life forever. So here's my second point, if you're taking notes. And I'm calling this my first life-changing truth. I really wanted to give y'all three, but I don't have time to give you three, so I'm going to give you one good one. This is like a COVID shot, the first one and the second one at the same time. Okay? So my first life-changing truth, here's what it is. It's understanding your ID can change your destiny. I'm going to say it again. Understanding your ID, in other words, understanding who you are, can change your destiny. So in John chapter 1, verse 19, I'm going to read it. And as we read it, I'm going to make some comments in between. So this was now talking about John. And so in verse 19, we're picking it up. It says, and this is the record of John. Of who, church? Of John. When the Jews, they sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask John, read it with me, who are you? Now, before we keep going, I want you to notice that religious leaders sent two types of people. They sent the priests and they sent the Levites to ask John who he was. Well, you may say, well, why them? Well, because listen, all ministry in those days came from the Levitical priesthood. In other words, you could be a Levite and not be a priest, but you couldn't be a priest and not be a Levite. Are you all with me? Okay, because this was a tribe thing. It was a birth thing. It was a system thing. It was an order thing. And that's how God had set it up. So they wanted John to tell them, hey, what are your natural credentials for you to do what you're doing? Well, what they were doing, which is most people do, they were exalting John's natural ID over his spiritual ID. So verse 20, it says, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, read it with me, I am not the Christ. I love this about John. I want you to notice he did not answer their question. And what was powerful was, even though he didn't answer their question of who he was, he at least told them who he wasn't. And see, most people can never step into what God has called them to do or called them to be because they're so concerned about what people would say or what people would think about them. No. At least he knew who he was not. See, that'll keep you out of jail. You say, well, how? Somebody call you out your name, call you the B word, and you fight them. You going to jail. You let somebody call you something that you not, but because you believe you is, it got you in jail. He knew who he was not. And so then verse 21, they say, well, they ask him, well, then what are you? Are you Elias? And he said, what? No. Are you that prophet? And he said, what? No. They said unto him, well, who are you? Now I want you to notice they had their opinion of who they thought he should be. And people are going to have their opinion about who you are. And what you can't do is be worried about what people think because they're going to think it anyway. He said, well, no, I'm not that prophet. I'm not Elias. So then they said, well, what do you say about yourself? I love the New Living Translation of that verse. Listen to what it says. Then who are you? I said it was your last time, but look one more time at your neighbor and ask him, who are you? Who are you? We need an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And church, let me tell you something. When life starts lifing, when people start lying, when the devil starts talking, when people start saying things about you that are not true, let me shock your system. You know, sometimes you need a system shock. You know, when you're in emergency and your heart might have stopped and they clear. Sometimes we need a system shock. Well, I'm about to shock you right now, real fast. It's not good enough for you to believe what God says about you. That won't matter if what he says about you doesn't match with what you say about you. Oh, I'm gonna let that settle right there. See, God already has declared who we are. But I will never be that. And I will never walk in that until I have made a decision that that's what I am. Here's a take-home thought. To be you, you must know you. See, information provides facts, but revelation transforms you with truth. Notice now in the next verse, in verse 23, after he told them, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not that. Notice now verse 23 as we get ready to close here. Verse 23 says, and he said, I love that. Notice it didn't say John thought. It said he what? He said, and church, the Bible says life and death is in the power of your words, not necessarily in the power of your thoughts. John said, see, your thoughts, here's why life and death can't be completely in your thoughts, because all of your thoughts are not yours. Okay, now, how I manage those thoughts now will determine what type of life I will have, because out of the abundance of the heart, you begin to speak. But here's the powerful thing about words. Whatever you keep saying, Jesus said, you'll have it. And that's why when you're going through something, church, listen to me now. Listen, that's just life asking you, who are you? When you get an unexpected bill in the mail, the life is asking you, what do you believe about your provision? When the doctor is giving you a bad report and he's saying you have cancer, my question to you is, what do you believe about what God's word says? Do you believe the doctor or do you believe the doctor? Because anytime we go through things in life, it's nothing but a reality check to see what you believe. John said, he said, and then I like the next two words, and I'm closing here. He says, I am. Now, he says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. But let's just take that part, I am. Do you know when he said, I am? Did you know that that's what God told Moses to tell Pharaoh? When he went to Pharaoh and he says, well, if I go to them, well, what I'm going to say to them? He says, tell them I am sent you. In other words, God was saying to Pharaoh, I am who I am. And because I am who I am, you're going to do what I need you to do. Well, John was saying, I am who I am because the great I am told me who I am. And because I believe who he says I am who he is, who he said I am. In other words, I am who I is. He says, I'm the one, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Here's the key, as said the prophet Isaiah. In other words, the real you, church, must be discovered by revelation and not by naturalization. See, John the Baptist could have pulled out his driver's license. I don't know if they had them back then. Do you need a driver's license to drive a donkey? He didn't pull out his driver's license, or he didn't roll out his natural pedigree and say, well, my dad was Zacharias, who was of the tribe of Abijah, and he was a minister and priest in the tabernacle. In fact, when I was conceived, my dad saw an angel who spoke to him and said, you're going to have a son, Zechariah. And my daddy didn't even believe the angel. So the angel said, you know what? I'm going to shut your mouth up so you, what you say can't interfere with what God is trying to do. And I'm going to shut you down until the day that boy is born. And he said, and you know, my daddy went home, and him and my mama, even though they was old as turkey, they got together. And somehow, some way, I got conceived, and here I am. He did not let his naturalization, he did not let his natural pedigree make him who he was. So what excuse do we have? See, what we do, well, you know, I didn't go to school. So? My mom and him, I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. Well, what track do you, what side do you want to look at? John did not rely on his natural birth and family lineage to determine his identity. John didn't just believe, listen, what God's word said about him. John believed that he was what God said it was. He was. It was what he thought, listen, of himself, not just what God thought about him. God can say it, church, but we have to accept it. When you get this revelation that you know and believe and accept who God says you are, your life will change. Because if you read what's next, in back verse 24, after John tells them, hey, look, I'm here. I'm who the word says I am. The word says I'm one. I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. That's who I am. So now, once people figure, okay, well, all right, I ain't gonna mess with her because she seemed to know who she is. So when they can't rattle you for who you are, now what they gonna do is come for you with what you do. Because look in verse 24. And they which were sent of the Pharisees, they asked him, they said, okay, then, okay, well, if you're not all that and you a voice crying one in the wilderness, then why are you baptizing, John? People will always have a problem with what you do. The best way, church, to get over that is to know that people can't delete what God has made elite. I'm going to say that again right there. See, the best way to get over people having a problem with what you do is to know that people can't delete what God has made elite. You're one of a kind. People can't cancel you if God promoted you. Say amen to that. So how do we apply the word today? Here's the first way. Is when you're listening to a fivefold teacher, don't just listen for what you already know. Listen for what can help you grow. Amen. Number two, don't let what you already know become a barrier to hearing or receiving something new. Because a lot of times we get in church and we're just listening for what we know already. Oh, I know that. I know that. I know that. Right? But see, it's when life starts lifing that determines whether you know something or whether you believe something. See, I remember years ago, touch your neighbor and say, he's closing right now. He told, I remember when COVID came around and we had members dealing with COVID issues. And one of the couples that was dealing with COVID, Brother Tyrone, sitting right over there. He didn't even know I was going to talk about him this morning, but he's sitting right over here to my right and your left. Well, he ended up with COVID, right? And it was bad. It was bad. He got a bad report. They pretty much was just saying, hey, just let's make him comfortable so he can go on and be with the Lord. I don't know if the doctor said that, but that's what people was thinking, right? And I talked to his wife, Deborah, and she was like, Pastor, we standing on the word. He's standing on the word. And he stood on that word. Let me tell you something. He stood on that word, and he stood on that word. And let me tell you something about God. He watches over his word to perform it. So if you'll stand on it long enough, he will change whatever you're going through. Because if he doesn't, that means his word doesn't have the power to do it. And he's here today, 100. Because he believed he's the healed. Say amen to that. Number three, don't just believe what God's word says about you. Listen, church, open your mouth and declare that that's who you are. You know why? You know why y'all think I'm handsome? Let me say it over here on this side. You know why y'all think I'm handsome? Okay, let me reverse it, okay, because that sounds like it's up. Okay, you know why I know I'm handsome? That's even worse, Pastor. You're going down a hole here. You know why I know I'm handsome? It's not because you think I'm handsome. You think I'm handsome because I know I'm handsome. Some of y'all, see, I hear some of y'all about that. But I don't know, why you gonna say he think he all that? No, you think I'm all that because what I'm thinking right now lines up with the word. And the word tells me I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And man, when you start walking in this level of knowing who you are, people gonna have a problem with you. They gonna have a problem with what you wear. They gonna have a problem with what you drive. They gonna have a problem with what you do. But you can't let that bother you. Why? Because the greater one lives on the inside of you. Did y'all get something out of the word today? Well, praise the Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe there's some people today.